بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهدي واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، the Vice Chancellor of University of Abuja, the host of today's gathering, the Chairman of the Muslim Community of the University of Abuja, the Amira of the Muslim Community of the University of Abuja, and my mother, Professor Ramus Abdul Hamid, the executive members of the Muslim Ummah of the University of Abuja, so the Minister of the University of Abuja, professors, deans, directors, other dignitaries from outside the university, my mother, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is really a pleasure that I am here invited for the seventh time to deliver the Ramadan lecture to the well-informed audience of the University of Abuja. I am really delighted to have this opportunity. I thank you for this invitation to share some thoughts and let me feel the ties of kinship with brothers and friends in the University of Abuja. I am really excited to see some of them from the Department of Islamic Studies. Musa Lawe, Abdul Qadir Sulaiman, Professor Rashidu, who has come here early and has really done something beautiful for us. I also want to, by way of introduction, congratulate all of us for having the opportunity to witness this blessed month of Ramadan, the month of blessings, of sober reflection, of reform, of self and community development. I hope and pray that we shall all maximize the benefit of Ramadan through sincere devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He make it easy for us and accept it from us. I also want to commend the organizers for the selection of the topic. The final or the farewell message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is because of its recurrent and relentless relevance, and especially in Ramadan, where we need to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, and we need to worship Him as though we may not see tomorrow. And again, it is a campus of an identity catholic institution where we need more of such the quest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we thrive as Muslims amidst so many distractions, so many intellectual fights, so many deviations and aggressive tendencies. This is why I say I commend the wisdom of the organizers, because this will call us to act and act appropriately to contain and maintain our Ummah with its identity as an Islamic society. This lecture will intend to achieve two things. Number one is to explore the prophetic power message during his power pilgrimage. And secondly, to extract a framework for the Muslim Ummah in Nigerian national institutions. I would expect that it will lead to immediate action towards reforming the Ummah in the areas that we are lacking from what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in his last sermon or message in the final pilgrimage. I will not be strictly academic in the presentation. I will rather be both an academic and a preacher. In fact, every academic, as far as Islam is concerned, is a preacher, and every preacher is an academician. Otherwise, there will be lapses here and there. I want to start by, after this introduction, by going directly to the Prophet's farewell message. When we mention this, we refer to the fundamental teachings contained in the sermon delivered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his farewell pilgrimage, which is called Hajjatul Wada or Hajjatul Islam or Hajjatul Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he performed in the year 10 after Hijrah. It was the first and the last Hajj performed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Hijrah. He practically demonstrated the right of Hajj after all the contaminated Jahiliyyah practices were removed and uprooted. And he went ahead to summarize the Islamic basic principles in creed, personal and interpersonal relations, and in the beauty of the Muslim community. It was the largest world assembly witnessed in human history at the time, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed more than 100,000 audience from across the Muslim world. There were approximately 124,000, or according to some narrations, 144,000 Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered the sermon. He delivered three sermons during the pilgrimage. On the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah, that is the day of Arafah, and then he delivered the second sermon on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, that is Yawm al-Nahr, the 8th day, and then on the 11th or the 12th day, the 12th day of Dhul-Hijjah, the first was at Arafah, while the second and the third were at Mina. The sex of the three diamonds are similar in so many aspects. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on repeating the principles in different styles for emphasis and for likely different audience who we are so enthusiastic to see and hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He struggled for 25 years calling, teaching, demonstrating, explaining Islam. Then he called the largest gathering of the Muslim Ummah. Many of them just accepted Islam and did not even see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he was going on the Hajj, he announced that people should join him. So many people joined. Many of them were seeing the Prophet for the first time. Many were hearing directly from him for the first time. That is why in the narration of Jabir, he was saying that people without numbers trooped to Mecca to witness the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to learn from him, copy him, and to see him. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered more than one sermon, and he was repeating the basics of the sermon using different methods of teaching or of sermon, but they are essentially the same message that he was passing. The most attractive of this sermon was the sermon of the day of Arafah. That was the day that you have the largest number of people listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And up to today, the gathering in Arafah is the largest world assembly that happens every year. So it was a universal gathering that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make universal declarations about the fundamentals of Islam that were enshrined to resist the test of time and to be implemented at all times to all people and in all circumstances. This sermon of the Arafah, I will read the sermon and it will teach us some things that the prophetic sermons are usually short, low, pithy, comprising so many, many meanings, but in short, short words. At-Tirjani, one of the authors of Islamic history, he wrote Mawsu'at al-Tariq al-Islam. In it, he summarized the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at Arafah. He said, and I quote in Arabic, وَأَلْقَى الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي يَوْمِ عَرَفَةَ خُطْبَةً جَامِعَةً فِي جُمُوعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ قَرَّرَ فِيهَا قَوَاعِدَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَشَرَائِعَهُ هَادِمًا لِقَوَاعِدِ الشِّرْكِ وَالْجَاهِلِيَّةِ مُوَضِّحًا الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ الَّتِي اتَّفَقَتِ الشَّرَائِعُ السَّمَاوِيَّةُ عَلَى تَحْرِيمِهَا وهي الدماء والأموال والأعراض، ووضع أمور الجاهلية كلها تحت قدميه، وأوصاهم بالنساء خيرا، وحذرهم من الفتن، وختمها بدعوة المسلمين إلى التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فهما العاصمان للأمة من الضلال والزيغ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered on the day of Arafah an all-encompassing sermon in the assembly of the Muslims, where he reiterated and summarized the fundamental, the foundational teachings of Islam and its injunctions of rooting and pulling down the foundations of polytheism and Jahiliyyah, explaining the prohibitions that all heavenly revealed legislations have agreed upon their proscription. That if the blood of people, the wealth of people, the dignity of people, he cancelled all the remnants of the Jahiliyyah under his feet. He requested to them to be kind to women and warn them against trials and tribulations. He concluded with a call to the Muslims to uphold the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they are the saving records for the Ummah from straight as death. I recognize the arrival of the Vice Chancellor of the University of Abuja, Professor Hakim. You are welcome, sir. You are welcome. I also recognize my father and mother, son and Mrs. San, the Vice Chancellor of Notre Dame State University. I don't know whether I see her, but when I see you, I see her. So, the Prophet's farewell sermon, we are taking one of this sermon, which I think is the most spectacular and which has more audience. That is the one he delivered at Arafah, at Namira. And I will read it in his original language and give the translation. The Prophet said, أيها الناس اسمعوا قولي فإني لا أدري لعلي لا ألقاكم بعد عامي هذا بهذا الموقف أبدا. أيها الناس إن دماءكم وأموالكم حرام عليكم كحرمة يومكم هذا في شهركم هذا في بلدكم هذا. ألا وإن كل شيء من أمور الجاهلية تحت قدمي موضوع ودماء الجاهلية موضوعة، وإن أول دم أضع من دمائنا دم ابن ربيعة ابن الحارث ولب الجاهلية موضوع. أيها الناس إن الشيطان قد أيد من أن يعبد بأرضكم هذه أبدا، ولكنه إن يطع فيما سوى ذلك فقد رضي به مما تحقرون من أعمالكم، فاحذروه على دينكم. أيها الناس إن النسيء زيادة في الكفر يضل به الذين كفروا يحلونه عاما ويحرمونه عاما ليواطئوا عدة ما حرم الله فيحلوا ما حرم الله ويحرموا ما أحل الله. وإن الزمان قد استدار كهيئته يوم خلق السماوات والأرض السنة 12 شهرا منها أربعة حرم ثلاثة متواليات ذو القعدة وذو الحجة والمحرم ورجب مضر الذي بين جمادى وشعبان. اتقوا الله في النساء فإنكم إنما أخذتموهن بأمان الله واستحللتم خروجهن بكلمة الله إن لكم عليهن حقا ولهن عليكم حقا. لكم عليهن ألا يطعن فرشكم أحدا تكرهون، فإن فعلن ذلك فاضربوهن ضربا غير مضرة الله ولهن عليكم رزقهن وكسوتهن بالمعروف فاعقلوا أيها الناس قولي فإني قد بلغت وقد تركت فيكم ما لن تضلوا بعده إن اعتصمتم به كتاب الله وسنة رسوله يا أيها الناس اسمعوا وأطيعوا وإن أمر عليكم عبد حبشي مجدع ما أقام فيكم كتاب الله أرقاءكم أرقاءكم أطعموهم مما تأكلون وافسوهم مما تلبسون وإن جاءوا بنذر لا تريدون أن تغفرون فبيعوا عباد الله ولا تعذبوهم أيها الناس اسمعوا قولي وأطيعوا وعقلوا تعلمون أن كل مسلم أخ للمسلم وأن المسلمين إخوة فلا يحل لامرئ من أخيه إلا ما أعطاه أخي لنفس منه فلا تظلمن أنفسكم اللهم هل بلغت وستلقون ربكم فلا ترجعوا بعضي ضلالا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض ألا ليبلغ الشاهد الغائب فلعل بعض من يبلغه أن يكون أوعى من بعض من سمعه وأنتم تسألون عني فما أنتم قائلون قالوا نشهد أنك قد بلغت وأديت ونبهت فقال الأسبوع السبابة يرفعها إلى السماء وينكتها إلى الناس اللهم اشهد اللهم اشهد اللهم اشهد That is the farewell dana of the Lord of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. How many minutes did it take me to read this dana? This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to summarize all the fundamental teachings of Islam. For those of you who might not understand Arabic, let me make a translation of what I have just read. It is good that you hear it directly from the Prophet and later on we take the lessons. He said, after the necessary openings, I will read the translation so that I don't also take time. He said, O people, lend me your attentive ear, for I know not whether after this year I shall ever be amongst you again. That is why it's called power. Therefore, listen to what I am saying to you very carefully and take these words to those who could not be present here today. O people, just as you regard this month, Dhul-Hijjah, this day, the day of Arafah, this city, the city of Mecca, sacred, so regard the life and property of everybody as a sacred source. Return the goods entrusted to you to their rightful owners. Hurt no one so that no one may hurt you. Remember that you will indeed meet your Lord and that He will indeed reckon your deeds. God has forbidden you to take usury, bank interest. Therefore, all interest obligation shall henceforth be waived. Your capital, however, is yours to keep. You will neither inflict nor suffer any iniquity. God has judged that there shall be no interest, and that all the interest due to Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, his uncle, shall henceforth be waived. Beware of Satan. For the safety of your religion, he has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of following him in small things. O people, it is true that you have started right with regards to your women, but they also have right over you. Remember that you have taken them as your wives only under the thought of Allah and with His permission. If they abide by your right, then to them belong the right to be fed and clothed in kindness. Do treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. and it is your right that they do not make friends with anyone of whom you do not approve, as well as never be unchecked. O people, listen to me in earnest. Worship God. Perform your daily, your 5 daily prayers. Fast during the Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, and offer zakat. Perform Hajj if you have the means. All mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab. Nor does a non-Arab have any superiority over an Arab. White has no superiority over black. Nor does a black have any superiority over white. None have superiority over another except by piety and good action. Learn that every Muslim is a brother to every Muslim, and that the Muslims constitute one brotherhood. Nothing shall be treatment to a Muslim which belongs to a fellow Muslim unless it was given freely and willingly. Do not therefore do injustice to yourselves. Remember, one day you will appear before God and answer for your deeds. So beware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. O people, no prophet or apostle will come after me, and no new faith will be born. Reason well. Therefore, O people, I understand words which I convey to you. I leave behind me 2 things, the Quran and my Sunnah. And if you follow these, you will never go astray. All those who listen to me shall pass on my words to others, and those to others again. And it may be that the last one understand my words better than those who listen to me directly. Be my witness, O God, that I have conveyed your message to your people. Thus, the Beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed his final salam, and upon it, near the summit of Arafah, the revelation came down. After this salam, Angel Jibreel brought the bus to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, confirming what he had done, that he had summarized the teaching, that he had believed Allah's message to humanity. Allah said in that verse, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa akmaltu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. This day, I have perfected your religion for you, completed my grant upon you, and have chosen Islam for you as your way of life, or what you call religion in English. This is the text of the prophetic or the prophet's farewell salam. I have deliberately decided to read it through, even though it has taken a great part of my time, because you hearing directly the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important than my explanation and analysis. And I am sure that many might not have read or heard it completely as they had it now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this sermon reiterated some fundamental teachings of Islam. Let me summarize them and then link them with the Muslim community in tertiary, in Nigerian tertiary institutions. The first thing, I am not taking it in the order that I have read, but if you listen to it, you will find where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. The first thing is, he iterated Tawheed. That was why he was calling upon Allah. Huh? That was why he was saying, worship Allah. That is the fundamental of Islam, the cornerstone of Islam. Tawheed is the basis of Islam, and it is the basis of the Muslim community. So, we must have Tawheed intact.
That is the unity of Allah. That is monotheism in its highest sense. That Allah is one and alone. He does not have son. He does not have a father. He does not have a partner. Nobody assists him. He is independently one. His oneness is not negotiable. That is what makes Ummah, or makes a person, a Muslim, what he believes strictly in this. And that is what makes a community, a Muslim community, when every member believes in this and teaches and encourages the Tawheedi worldview that emanates from the Tawheed. And the eradication of any form of anti-Tawheed worldview represented in all the ancient and modern isms. The second thing is human rights. Human rights as basis of personal and interpersonal relations among mankind, and especially women's rights. You have heard what the Prophet said about women. Human rights is the foundation also of societal harmony and peaceful coexistence. This is the second aspect that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed. In fact, this was the first thing he mentioned. The sanctity of life, wealth, and dignity. The third thing is about human solidarity and fraternity. That Muslim is a brother to a Muslim. That Muslims are a common brotherhood, which are based in faith in Allah and equality in humanity. You have heard that mankind are one from the same father and mother, and nobody is superior by virtue of his race, by virtue of his tongue, by virtue of his color, or any thing that you call primordial sentiment. Number four, justice as foundation of leadership and society at all levels. And then finally, the Prophet talked about the source of inspiration, the source of legislation, the source of law, rules and regulations in the Muslim community are the Quran and the Sunnah. If you hold fast to them, you will never go astray. So these are the fundamental messages in the Sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the messages we want to reflect on how we understand them and practice them, and also share them among ourselves and Muslim communities and with other non-Muslim communities for world prosperity. But we are taking the Muslims in the tertiary institutions. Permit me here to go faster. I said Muslim Ummah in the Nigerian tertiary institutions. We don't need to define what we mean by the tertiary institutions. These are the third tier of academic institutions of learning in our country. They are either established by the government, like the university here, or the private sector for training of students in learning and character for positive socio-economic transformation of the country. These are universities, colleges of education, polytechnics, and the rest. Majority of these are mixed, complex, secular based, and they are a reflection of the larger Nigerian society in all aspects, in leadership, in teaching, in community service, in research, in relationship. These institutions are just a mini Nigerian society. Whatever you can say about the Nigerian society, you can say it about our tertiary institutions. Muslims exist in these tertiary institutions as staff and students. Sometimes they constitute majority, or they constitute minority. Sometimes they lead, they are the leaders of the institutions. Sometimes they are followers, based on the location and the type of the institution and the proprietors too. The entire Muslims in tertiary institutions, whether they constitute themselves and have what you have now as Ummah, or they remain haphazard, is what we refer to as Ummah in the topic of this discussion, which is the prophetic or the prophet welfare message lessons for the Ummah in Nigerian tertiary institutions. If you are a Muslim and you have any business to do with this tertiary institution, you are the one we are addressing this morning. And this Ummah, the way they are in Nigeria today, I have characterized them into this. They have the following characteristics. I will not explain. Muslim Ummah in tertiary institutions are characterized by unity and disunity, organization and disorganization, uprightness and corruption, peace and violence, obedience and disobedience, affluence and poverty, focus and haphazardness. We have this, we have that. Sometimes in the same community, sometimes you will have one decent one and the other not like that. So it is this community that we want to look at this framework. We want to look at the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this sermon and say that when you build the Muslim community in tertiary institutions based on these principles, you will maintain your identity, you will prosper, you will be as Allah wants you, as best for humanity. People will know to be with you. If they did not join you, they did not harm, they will not harm you, and they will be happy to be associating with you and relating with you at all times. The first thing that we can take from the sermon is that they are in a community. They are in a community. From the Quran, we find out that community is run by five ingredients, five types of people. If the community is good and strong, it is because these are good and strong. If the community is lost, it is because these are useless and purposeless. The first are the scholars. The scholars. And when we talk about the tertiary institution, we have scholars. In fact, university, we define it as a community of people who are learning. This is a university. Everybody is learning, but some, in addition to learning, they teach, and when you teach, you learn too. So the first pillar of any given community are the scholars and intellectuals. Number two are the leaders, those in authority. If you don't have people that command what you do, there is no community. Number three are the languages, are the wealthy people that are economically strong. These people must be there in any given community to work the thing. Then number four is the media. Number four is the media. Any community that does not have effective means of communication will be a community in loss. And then the fifth are the masses that are controlled by the Facebook chief. Lastly, so as a university community, we must be able to identify these pillars that every member of the community knows this man belongs to which of this. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was going out, he made a declaration. How did he make a declaration? It's through the media. The Muslim media at that time. That is why all Muslims in the entire Muslim world of that time, they got the information and they did not miss meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the way before he reached Mecca and they entered Mecca. He also used knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had certified for some of his companions even their areas of specialization. Even their areas of specialization. Good. So he had raised scholars in virtually all areas that the community needs to thrive. Number three, he had around him people that are so wealthy and ready to sacrifice their wealth for the development of the Ummah. You have the life of Abu Bakr. You have the life of Uthman ibn Affan. You have the life of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, and many more who are wealthy. And you know, Islam considers wealth as one of the foundations of community. And that is why two pillars of Islam are based on wealth. It is only when you are wealthy that you will be able to fulfill love. And that is why when you look at the philosophy behind this, it is because Islam does not like poverty and does not like the adherence to one in abject poverty. Unfortunately, many Muslims are living in this bad condition. Then you have the leader. In this case, the leader is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, who is divinely called to lead. And I will mention this later, he did not lead authoritarianism. No, he has also appointed some people. Whenever he is going out of Medina, he will appoint somebody to represent him. In this case, he appointed, according to Ibn Hisham and Ibn Ishaq, he appointed Abu Dujana, one of the military generals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the governor of Medina. So he was doing what we call participatory leadership. So what I'm saying here is that we need to have an Ummah. Let us correct this from now, that you see this, you don't know what is his status, you don't know the pillars of your community. This is one thing we need to correct, taken from this. Number two, of whole Tawheed worldview, the unity of God. Eradication of all forms of ism in the Muslim community. Islam does not allow in its community for its members to perpetrate any kind of ism, polytheism, atheism, agnosticism, skepticism, humanism, capitalism, count it now, whatever of all these isms that are man-made and often contradictory or challenging the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslim community should assist one another in making sure that this do not appear or is continuously suppressed through knowledge, sound action, and admonition. And if need be, through regulated strength used by constituted authority. In Nigerian tertiary institutions, there is a growing strength now of atheism. In the 80s, Muslims were able to suppress all this, but it is coming back now under different names, and it is being registered officially inside and outside campuses, but it gets more concerns among students of tertiary institutions who would want to think freely, who would not want anybody to impose any idea on them, that these people will now use them and give them money and they become atheists. We need to know the beliefs of members in our community, and that should be through regular engagement. That is why we should have ta'lim sessions in the universities, and we should be discussing these modern challenges, especially as they relate to the week. So, unity of thought is the basis for the Ummah. And that is why all these pillars of the Ummah that I have mentioned, if any one of them is lacking in Tawheed, the Ummah will shake, the Ummah will lose its identity as a Muslim Ummah. Number three, Islamic Brotherhood as the binding link that supersedes any other bond of tribe, ethnicity, nation, race, profession, anything that binds people together. Islam is telling us that the wider wagon that when we drive, it will take us to the saving ground is Islamic Brotherhood. No one is superior by virtue of his right area of study or whatever. It is only by virtue of virtue. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble of you in the eyes of Allah are those who are most pious. Islam holds it that when you are a Muslim, you will be pious. And if you see anywhere in the Quran or the Sunnah, Allah is saying that a believer is not like the non-believer. A believer being Muslim, a non-believer being non-Muslim, it is by virtue of the self and righteousness, not just by mere name. ليس بأمانيكم ولا أماني أهل الكتاب من يعمل سوءا يجزى به ولا يجد له من دون الله وليا ولا نصيرا. The Prophet Allah said in the Quran, it is not your ambition that because I fear so then I will enter paradise, I will enter paradise. No, you enter paradise not by mere name. Allah says, whoever commits an act of sin shall be rewarded accordingly. And whoever commits, whoever makes acts of righteousness shall also be rewarded accordingly. Nothing should be superior than brotherhood in fact. And this is really what binds and links the Muslim Ummah together, that up till today they were not completely conquered, because at the level of the masses, we feel for one another, we assist one another, we defend one another. It is at the level of leadership that we have a problem, And when your leaders have problems, then you know what it is. Look at how many countries, Muslim countries, that were attacked without any justifiable reason. Sometimes without even any provocation. The Imam mentioned it. Look at what is happening in Iran, for example. And look, how many Muslim countries frown against this? They have the ability to stop the U.S. It's not Israel that is trying. It's not Israel that is fighting. And even if it is Israel that is fighting, it's fighting with the might of the U.S. With the might of the U.S. Many people, when they talk like this, they say, you think it is the Christians that are fighting or killing the Muslims? No. It has nothing to do with religion. It is might and power. They want power and they think these people that have so much wealth, that have so much knowledge, that have so much so, if they are allowed to be independent, we are God. We are God. They do descend it also to the Christians. And they will come to Nigeria and say they are here to protect Christians. While they are killing Christians elsewhere. It is the hypocrisy, and we allow it because we did not stick to this Islamic brotherhood at all the five levels of the community that I have mentioned. I beg to read to the end. You have heard the message. Knowledge as the basis of all activities. This ensures planning, academic excellence, healthy competition, innovation, steady progress and development, emancipation from all kinds of intellectual bondage and enslavement. A Muslim community is a community based on knowledge in all its affairs. So let us imbibe this from the message. Economic strength, built upon compassion and avoidance of extortion and greed. That is why Islam fights usury and riba, whether small or double or multiple or whatever, in whatever percentage. It should be a relationship that will foster happiness, solidarity among the Ummah. The next is social justice that will enhance love and eliminate any unjustifiable discrimination based on primordial sentiments. We have had that. Participating in leadership that recognizes talents and capabilities and delegates responsibilities. When we have this in our community, the community will thrive. I am giving you the example the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And while on that journey, he sent Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen as leaders and judges. He also sent Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib came and met him also in Hajj from a responsibility he has given them. Effective communication that carries all along and deliver the facts without addition or mutilation, without any sensation, no room or mongering. Mutual respect and protection of basic rights. In Islam, everybody has five basic rights that each and every member of the community must protect for him. Not only the government, each and every member. Number one is religion. That is why there is no compulsion in religion. You don't force a non-Muslim to become a Muslim. You convince him. You entice him. You dialogue with him. If he accepts it, fine. If he does not accept it, nobody is asked to judge first in this world. The judgment for that is in the hereafter. When Muslims fight jihad, they are not fighting the non-Muslims because they are not Muslims. No, it is because of starting aggression. or injustice, or any such thing as enshrined in the Quran, but not because that they are non-Muslim. If that is the case, no Jew will have lived in Medina together with the Prophet ﷺ, but they lived there and they continued to live in various parts of the Muslim world. Nay, they have even usurped Palestine and killed everybody to continue to stay in Palestine for their wishful dreams. The second thing is life. In fact, life is so precious that the Prophet even started with this. So what we are seeing in the Muslim community today, of people killing their brothers for nothing, or for money that will vanquish. And you have seen many people who have gathered money, even the local money, they just can go. And you are killing your brother just to have money from others that will not last beyond your lifetime. The lineage, the wealth and intellect, these are the five basic necessities that every person, every individual is mandated to preserve for the other person living in the Muslim community, whether a Muslim or a non-Muslim, and that is indeed a universal human right as declared by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And under this, the Prophet specified women. Where are those talking about emancipation and empowerment of women? This is the first person that talks in a universal gathering about the rights of women, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we just respect and involve women in effective training, upbringing and development of the Ummah. Any Ummah that really gets its female focus shall never progress, shall never develop. In fact, just as you say, they say the level of your development is according to the level of education. I say your development as a Ummah is also based on the development of your women. I am not saying that they are equal to men. They are never equal to men. But they should be given right opportunities to train the Ummah. They are the trainers of the Ummah. And most of this is done at home, but not only at home. They can do it in the university, and alhamdulillah, I can see a great number of them participating. When I came to this hall, I saw them together with the men, participate, involve them. Rule of law. And when we talk about the rule of law here in the Sharia, that is the final thing the Prophet mentioned. That in whatever you do, you must seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you must have recourse to his book and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to extract your laws. That is why Muslims don't agree with any law that is anti-Sharia, that goes against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. And that is because they believe that whatever Allah instructed him is for the good of humanity. For he is the creator of humanity, he knows humanity better, and he prescribes only that which is for the welfare and good of humanity. Nobody is above the law of the Sharia. Even the president, even the prime minister, even the vice chancellor, even the imam must adhere to the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. So those five people, the constitution of the community, must agree within their heart that this is the source of inspiration. Finally, al-amru bil ma'ruf wal nahy an al munkar. The Prophet said, those who are here should pass this message to those who might be absent. Sometimes that the person who is absent, when he hears the message, he may understand it or implement it better than those who are present when the message is delivered. Al-amru bil ma'ruf wa nahyu 'anil munkar, through wise counsel and through peaceful means. This is also one of the pillars that holds any community together. Any community that has no people who command with good and forbid evil, that community is gone. There are many practical ways to do all these things, but my time will not allow for this. I therefore conclude by reiterating that the Prophet message is a perfect summary of the fundamentals of Islam for the success of humanity. Muslims are continuously reminded and continually reflect on the message and respond to them positively for their prosperity and bliss in this world and in the hereafter. Tawheed, sanctity of life, property and dignity, unity, brotherhood, participatory leadership, economic empowerment, social solidarity, effective communication, military power, rule of law, and sound knowledge are the basis for building strong Muslim community that will provide welfare and succor for its members and its neighbors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to put this to practice, to understand it, and to share it with humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable mankind to understand this message and come in touch and avoid and shun violence and the shed of blood that we see everywhere in the modern world. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, well done. Thank you. Congratulations.
Very nice indeed.
Thank you.
We congratulate our esteemed leader,
thank you very
much. From Ali Muhammad Janko, time being head of the department of study the driver, Rastilafia. We thank you for your very robust, chronological, eloquent, precise, simple diction of lecture on the theme, the farewell message of Mother Muhammad, the guiding one for the Ummah. We supplicate that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a Sunday to bring you the contact of man. And Allah will be a prophet in the world. Your choice of way is very much fair and simple, and there is no need to make any summary or review of what you have presented. Allah will ask you to continue to abide by you. We wish you a return to your destination, inshallah.